My dearly beloved in Christ, in today's very familiar gospel, we first of all read how the Pharisees, these enemies of our Lord, took counsel among themselves. How can we trap him in his speech? And so they devised a question that they thought was the perfect question to get our Lord to say something that could be used against him. Because if he said, don't give tribute to Caesar, they could accuse him to the Romans. He's undermining the Roman government. He's telling the people not to pay their taxes. On the other hand, if he said no, then they could say that you don't have to pay taxes. Or if he said that you do pay taxes, then they could say to the people, see, he supports the Roman government. He doesn't support Jewish sovereignty and so forth. So they thought they had the perfect question, the perfect plan. And our Lord, when they went to him and they give all this flattery, we know that you do not regard the person of men, etc. And our Lord exposed their wickedness, their hypocrisy. He began by saying, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin. And they produced a coin showing that they were using the Roman money, even though they disliked the Roman dominion over them. So this gospel brings out to us the fact that we as citizens live in a country, we have a government, we have a civil authority, but we also have, that's one sphere of our lives, but the other sphere is the spiritual, the church, and the authority of the church to guide us, to teach us, to tell us how we must live to get to heaven. So we have these two parts of our lives. The church does not interfere with mere civil affairs, although the church does have the right to point out and defend morality insofar as civil laws are concerned. On the other hand, the state has no right to interfere with the affairs of the church, leading souls to heaven. So that is the lesson here. Now it reminds me of the teachings in this regard by Pope Leo XIII. Now Pope Leo XIII was a brilliant pope who lived from 1878, or I should say he was pope from 1878 to 1903, a long and glorious reign of 25 years. And during that time, he was prolific. He wrote 90 encyclical letters on various subjects. One of them was on the constitution of Christian states. And this is called Immortale Dei, written in 1885. So yesterday, in preparation for the sermon, I wanted to reread it. One encyclical that I had read years ago. And I will try to just quote a few sections, but it is so profound, the teaching of the Pope, of Holy Mother Church, on the civil government, on the state, and the role of citizens. Because we know we're coming up here to, we are in election season, some of us have already voted, and the importance of voting to promote good. Now there are those who will say, oh, you can't vote unless you have a Catholic politician that is in, there's nothing objectionable. You shouldn't vote because otherwise you're promoting evil. And they condemn this concept of promoting the lesser of evils. But that is not what theologians teach. Theologians teach that we must do what we can to prevent greater evil. And if you vote for a candidate who isn't perfect, who doesn't necessarily uphold the Catholic teaching in every area, but is much better than another one that promotes immoral things, that not only is it permissible, but you're obligated to do so, to prevent greater evils. So this is what moral theologians teach on promoting the lesser of evils. So we do live as citizens in this world, and we obviously have an interest in the civil government and trying to do the best to promote the best government possible. So listen to the words of Pope Leo XIII. The Catholic Church, that imperishable handiwork of our all-merciful God, has for her immediate and natural purpose the saving of souls and securing our happiness in heaven. Yet, in regard to things temporal, she is the source of benefits as manifold and great as if the chief end of her existence were to ensure the prospering of our earthly life. And indeed, wherever the Church has set her foot, she has straightway changed the face of things and has attempered the moral tone of the people with a new civilization and with virtues before unknown. All nations which have yielded to her sway have become eminent by their gentleness, their sense of justice, and the glory of their high deeds. And yet, a hackneyed reproach of old date is leveled against her, that the Church is opposed to the rightful aims of the civil government and is wholly unable to afford help in spreading that welfare and progress which justly and naturally are sought after by every well-regulated state. So that reproach that the Church is opposed to civil progress and so forth. He goes on a bit later to say, speaking of governments, that we must be governed according to the principles of Christian philosophy. Man's natural instinct moves him to live in civil society, for he cannot, if dwelling apart, provide himself with the necessary requirements of life, nor procure the means of developing his mental and moral faculties. Hence it is divinely ordained that he should lead his life, be it family or civil, with his fellow men, amongst whom alone his several wants can be adequately supplied. But as no society can hold together unless someone be over all, directing all to strive earnestly for the common good, every body politic must have a ruling authority. And this authority, no less than society itself, has its source in nature, and consequently has God for its author. We remember, and we'll have this in the gospel next Sunday, when our Lord was before Pilate. Pilate said, "Don't you know that I have authority to release you or to condemn you?" And our Lord said, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above, from God." The right to rule is not necessarily, however, bound up with any specific mode of government. It may take this or that form, provided only that it be of a nature of the government. Rulers must ever bear in mind that God is the paramount ruler of the world and must set him before themselves for their exemplar and law in the administration of the state. In other words, the Church doesn't say you have to have this type of a government or that type of a government, only that governments of whatever model, whatever type, that they be moral and that they uphold the moral law and promote the welfare of the citizens. I've mentioned before how this same Pope, Leo XIII, wrote an encyclical to the French hierarchy, because at the time that he was Pope, the Catholics in France had abstained from any involvement in the government, because since the French Revolution, the monarchy was eliminated. They had now a republic, and French Catholics were in favor of the monarchy. And so they were opposed to the current government, and so they didn't even get involved in voting, etc., doing what they could. And the Pope wrote to them and said, the Church doesn't say you have to have one type of government or another. And you must face the fact that that is the current government in France. So get involved and get good candidates elected and so forth. One last paragraph from this great encyclical of Pope Leo XIII. Society is made up of men. This society, speaking of the Church, is made up of men just as civil society is, and yet is supernatural and spiritual. on account of the end for which it was founded, and of the means by which it aims at attaining that end. Hence it is distinguished and differs from civil society, and what is of the highest moment, it is society chartered as of divine right, perfect in its nature and in its title, to possess in itself and by itself, through the will and loving kindness of its founder, all needful provisions for its maintenance and action. And just as the end at which the church aims is by far the noblest of ends, so its authority is the most exalted of all authority, nor can it be looked upon as inferior to the civil power or in any manner dependent upon it. So here he's referring to the fact that the church down through the centuries has struggled in maintaining its rights, its authority, in the face of civil governments that wanted to encroach upon the rights of the church. So again, we have these two spheres, the spiritual and the temporal. And as citizens, we want to be good citizens of both, loyal to both authorities, and to do what we can to promote the good. And that is what our Lord meant by his words, to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.